Welcome to the Marketing Study Lab podcast with me, Peter Sumpton, the Lego master of marketing and marketing consultant, providing you with the building blocks you need to be a successful marketer. This intro lasts about 1 minute, so feel free to skip forward if you've heard all this before. I seriously won't be offended. If you're new to the show, we chat to amazing people to give you practical advice you can implement right now that will make you and your marketing truly awesome. The conversations we have will lead you to the actionable marketing knowledge you've been craving, and now you've found it, so you can relax and enjoy the rest of the show. Thanks to all those that have left a 5-star Apple Podcast review. It's the best way to support what I'm trying to do here. If you have a burning marketing question, you can catch me on LinkedIn. I know I'm supposed to say the links are in the show notes, but let's face it, you've got better things to do than try and find those pesky show notes right now. Enough of the show intro. Let's get on with introducing our guest. This is part 1 of 6. Over the next 6 weeks, we'll have a slightly different feel to the podcast. It's just going to be me, myself, and I, as I chat through 6 of the most important and influential theories within marketing. This 6-part series is actually the second season in reviewing, explaining, and demonstrating how to use these powerful marketing tools, but it's the first time I've shared it on the podcast. Why am I doing this now? Well, I've partnered up with Professional Academy, there's an intro to them later, to bring all those aspiring marketers 6 Explainer Live episodes, which you can catch on a Thursday. The link's in the show notes. But this is a recording of what is a live video. It's been put together to make you a better all-round marketer, from auditing right through to controls and measures. This week, we take a look at the marketing audit. First of all, hello and welcome. The second series, the second difficult series in our marketing theories explained. What we're going to do on this second series is slightly different to the first, but similar. A contradiction in terms, I know. But what we're looking at is strategic elements of marketing, okay? So we're very much looking at models in season 1. This second season series, depending on where you're joining us from, across the pond or in the UK, is very much around strategic marketing theories and how, as marketers, we should be using models and theories to help us become better marketers. More importantly than that, because that sounds really dry, dull, and boring, more important than that is how to apply them. And that's what we'll go through today. First of all, a couple of intros, bit of admin and that kind of stuff. So first and foremost, thank you so much to Professional Academy for letting me do this on their behalf. It's an absolute pleasure, and I'll get on to my connection with Professional Academy in a moment. Just to let you know that Professional Academy, if you did not know, are a strategic partner of the CIM, the Chartered Institute of Marketing, and a globally recognized provider of marketing training and qualifications and apprenticeships. So check them out. They're on all the relevant internet channels, as well as they've got their own website. I mean, how 2020 is that? Amazing stuff. Introduction to me. My name is Peter Sumpton. I'm the Lego Master of Marketing. I'm a marketing consultant. I like turning all those marketing Lego bricks into something fun, understandable, and unique. I've been a tutor for around about 10 years, and I've been working with Professional Academy through workshops, developing apprenticeships, teaching those apprenticeships, being a mentor, et cetera, for those whole 10 years. So this is massively exciting for me to do on their behalf. Thank you so much once again. Just a quick recap on what this series is all about. What we're going to do is look at some strategic elements within marketing that are going to make you a better marketer. We're going to start with some analysis and auditing, right through to control and measurement. Bit of a soft stack feel, if you like. And what I'd like to get across is it's my personal belief that what we're going to cover is the difference between a good and a bad all-round marketer. So take note. Yes, we all have our specialisms. We all hear about the T-shaped marketer. That's fine, brilliant, fantastic. But you need to know
these models, these theories, and how to apply them to become a good all-round marketer, to be taken seriously within your organization or as an individual marketer. I'll take any questions or comments from any of the channels and platforms at the end of this topic. We'll stay live, which is different from season one. We'll stay live and I will go through any questions you may have. So please, please, please get them coming in. I want to help you become a better marketer. So let's get cracking. What we're going to look at today, we're going to look at the marketing audit. Big, posh, fancy audit. Well, it isn't really, because we'll look at what it is and why fundamentally it is important. So let's cover what the marketing audit is. So it's comprehensive, it's systematic, it's a way of analyzing where a business itself is in any current moment in time. It's a singular moment in time looking backwards to recap on where you are, your current situation. It covers the internal and the external, okay? Two very, very different things. And we've got different models and theories that we can utilize. Some of them are on screen right now that we can utilize to help us develop this audit and get some sense and make some sense out of it. What the marketing audit does very, very well is it identifies strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats in order to develop a set of future actions from those. So what we're going to go through is some models that we can utilize to help us understand what is going on in our environment externally and within our organizations internally. And all these can be utilized in any way, shape, or form that you feel is appropriate and is going to provide some value. So the models you see on the screen are just some. There are loads and loads and loads. And these are just some of my favorites, which we'll cover a little bit later on. Some you fundamentally need in an audit, I feel, and we'll cover that. And some, it's massively dependent on what industry you work for, the size of your organization, your competitors, what you're trying to achieve, or where you are in a certain marketplace, a whole host of things. But I'm a massive fan of using all these, some of them, parts of them, to our advantage, to your advantage. Rather than trying to stuff content into them that isn't applicable to what we want to know and understand, let's utilize all of them, parts of them, or combine them maybe to get the best out of our research. Because at the end of the day, that's what a marketing audit is. It's about our research. We're not here to go through each one individually. There's plenty of articles online about how to utilize them, their advantages, their disadvantages. What we're here to do is look at the importance of using some of them and how to use them correctly. But before we do that, I just want to cover why marketing should be doing this audit. Yeah, it's a marketing audit, but shouldn't an audit should be a business audit from a wider business perspective? Now, what marketing allows us to do as a department, we're in a unique position and we should never forget that. What it allows us to do is sit in the middle of our external environment, our customers, and our internal environment. We're in a very unique position. And if you think about it, marketing is the voice of the customer internally. And we are that conduit between internal and external. We understand or should understand our marketplace, what that includes. And we also need to consider what's going on internally. I think we've all been there as marketers where you have that battle internally to get your voice heard as well as externally. It's hard enough to convince people to know, like, and trust you externally. It's hard enough to do that, let alone to try and do it internally as well. And that's something we don't need on our plate. We really don't need it. We should be focused on helping our customers first and foremost. And this marketing audit is for the business in its entirety, because we're in the best position in the company to provide this. Why do we need an audit? Well, imagine this. You're driving a blacked out car, but the windows are put in the wrong way around. They're in reverse. So you can't see what's going on right in front of your eyes. No audit, no insight, crash and burn. Right, okay. So how do we use it? How is it to be used in its entirety, this marketing audit? Well, to get the best insight, you need to understand how some of these models work and get a deeper understanding into the prominent ones and how to get the best out of them as well. So let's take a look at a small section of what I personally believe should be integral to any marketing audit, regardless of the size of the company, regardless of the industry, regardless of what's going on in your external and internal environments. So as you can see on the screen, what we have here are two fundamentals, two absolute stalwarts of the marketing audit, if you like. Pest Delay is the first one, and we've covered this. I think it was the very, 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 very first thing we covered on season one of Marketing Theories Explained. So if you want to know a bit more about Pest Delay and what it includes, go and take a listen back to one of six in the first season. But stay with us for now, because it's going to get more exciting, if you can believe that. So what does Pest Delay do? It allows us to analyze the wider external environment. So what you need to know in your Pest Delay is you're looking at elements that have an impact on our organization, but that the organization doesn't have any control of. So this goes from political right through to ethical, which is kind of a new E within the Pest Delay. There's a whole host of things we can cover within that, but that's not for here. Go back and have a look at the first one, I think. Could be corrected, but I think it's the first one. Check them all out, to be fair, in season one. But it could be the first one where we look at Pest Delay in a bit more detail. The second theory on your screen is Porter's Five Forces. Now, why is this important? So the Pest Delay looks at elements that could have an impact on your organization, but are out of your control, the wider holistic view of your environment. Porter's Five Forces brings it a bit closer to home. It's an excellent way of highlighting the external forces, because remember, we're still looking at external. The external forces that might have an impact of your company, but both inside and outside of the market that you currently operate in. So this takes certain things into consideration, like supplier power and buyer power, substitute products, but also looks at competitors within your industry. Hugely important, because what you can highlight is the impact that certain forces might have on you as an organization. Okay, so that is a more wider external viewpoint. So let's have a look at a couple more here. The first one being a positioning map, perceptual mapping. And these are great. You can do as many of these as you want. What you need to do is get two polar opposites. On here, you can see quality and price. And then what you can do is position yourself and your competitors and other companies within this positioning map dependent on their attributes. So as you can see on the screen, you've got quality versus price, which is a bit of a very wide view of a market. So you might get detailed, very detailed in the polar opposites that you utilize. The important thing to note on this positioning map is that the best thing it provides is areas within your market that aren't necessarily covered. And if you can move your brand, move your organization into these areas, it provides you with a competitive advantage. So as you can see on screen, just as an example, what you've got here is high quality, low price. Nobody's offering that. Bit of a mecca, really, if we think about it. But if you can find some way of getting perceived quality at a lower price within this marketplace, then you have got a good competitive advantage. The other one on your screen is competitor and digital analysis. So what are we talking about here? Well, so there's no real structure or model to this, but it's massively important to consider our close competitors that we want to benchmark ourselves against. And let's bring a bit of digital into this, because, you know, we all like a bit of digital, don't we? Let's bring a bit of digital into this. So there's things that we want to benchmark ourselves against, such as turnover, position in the marketplace, market share, But from a digital point of view, we could be looking at websites, social media, those types of things. And what that allows us to do is get a good all-round view or benchmark against our competitors and where we sit within our marketplace. So we can see what competitor one is doing better than us, what competitor two is lacking. And that can highlight our strengths and weaknesses compared to our competitors. Again, a good way of looking for competitive advantage within your marketplace. So just a couple more. We'll look at a couple more models in the marketing audit, and then we'll go into a bit of a summary, if you like, of the importance and what we've covered so far and covered today. So McKinsey 7S's, what we're doing now is we're moving into our external environment. The internal. We've covered the external, and then with our competitor and our audit digitally, we're starting to bring our own company into view, and now we're moving into internal auditing territory. One of my favorite models to utilize here is McKinsey 7S's. Now, what this does, it provides a holistic view of the internal workings of an organization. But it doesn't just do that. It can show the impact of changing one and how that can impact other areas of the business. Huge areas like your structure, like the systems you utilize, but also softer elements like the staffing or the skills that you have within your organization. Why is this important? Well, for example, if a strategy changes fundamentally for an organization, if we end up changing a strategy, business strategy, more specific, a marketing strategy, that will have a huge impact on the skills we might need or the systems that we put in place to complement that strategic direction. It certainly will change the structure of how we operate. So in doing this, in looking at this from an audit point of view, then we can work out, okay, have we got the right strategy? And if not, what impact does that have on the rest of our organization? And the final one I want to cover very briefly is financial and internal resource capabilities, because it complements McKinsey 7S's perfectly. Number one, as marketers, we just cannot forget about financial elements. We just can't. It's easy to forget about those. Finance deal with those. It's easy to forget about them. We just need a budget and away we go. But we can't, because as marketers, we want to promote a marketing-orientated viewpoint for our company to be focused on marketing first and foremost, for marketing to lead the organization. And how can marketing lead an organization if we don't know our financial background? Where we sit financially, things like investments, leasing, new partners we could work with, profit, turnover, those types of things. If we don't understand or get a good grasp of that, then how can we produce a marketing strategy of any use? And if you take that further and look at tactics, which we're not talking about here, that comes later on. But if you look at tactics, the marketing mix, the 7 P's, price, albeit focused on a product or service, price is hugely important. How can you set a price for what you are offering, your solution to your customers' problems? How can you set a price if you don't understand your business from a financial perspective? And this is the same with internal capabilities, internal resources. The 5 M's, for example, check out that model. And again, that can complement McKinsey 7S's if you like. But how do we know what we can achieve if we don't know what we've got internally, first and foremost? So those two models are fantastic for a bit of an audit internally. And again, that can summarize what's going on internally as well as what's happened externally, as we've covered. So the last thing to mention before we go on to a summary is that once you've done all this within the marketing audit, I bet you're thinking, Pete, that's great, but I've probably wasted my time a little bit in terms of what I've produced. There's lots of research, but I'm not really drawing any conclusions. Well, with all these models, what you should be doing is analyzing each element. You've done your research. What have you discovered? Why is this important? And what are you going to take away from it? In doing that, you bring this analysis into the final model, which won't be on your screen, but the final model that I want to cover here, which is a SWOT and TOES analysis. We'll cover the TOES analysis later on in this series, so keep watching. But for now, I just want to cover SWOT. So what does SWOT do? Well, it looks at your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities and threats. And I think every single marketer knows and understands that. Strengths and weaknesses are internal, opportunities and threats are external. So what we do, we take our marketing audit, all that lovely, gorgeous research that you've just done and the analysis to complement it, and we move that into our strengths and our weaknesses and our opportunities and threats. And then we can start to look forward in some kind of strategic direction. That will come later on when we look at TOES and ANSOS Matrix in this series. A little bit of a sneak preview to what's coming up later on. So let's just summarize a little bit here about what a marketing audit is, why we need them, and my own personal opinion on how you should be utilizing these models. And then I'll take any questions that you may have. So get them in now, if you've got, while I'm summarizing here, if you've got any. So the best audits don't assume anything. So don't go in thinking I know everything, because fundamentally we shouldn't, because we're looking back to go forward. We're looking at where we are now and what's historically gone on. You should need to be fact-finding all the time. And this doesn't have to be a single entity you do. It should really be rolling. Look at your marketing audit maybe once a month, just top level, and maybe once a quarter, do a bit of a deeper dive into this to see if what you've summarized and what you've analyzed and the research you've done, it still is relevant. Imagine looking back at your marketing audit in February 2020 and looking at it now. I think it might be a little different, but that's not for here. So to do a marketing audit correctly, you need to know and understand the various models, some of which we've covered today. One important thing, though, is data overload. So you've got all these models. You saw on the first slide that there's a load more we didn't cover, but you've got them all. How much is too much research? How little research can you do? Well, how long's a piece of string, basically? This is the bit that is hugely dependent on the size of the organization, what you're looking to achieve, what your initial goal is for the research. But just remember that we can have data overload. Data isn't an issue today. We've got enough data to last a lifetime and more out there. It's getting the right data and making sure we've got enough information, we do enough research, so we can then analyze what we found. If you've got too much, it'll be really difficult to analyze it. So although I can't give you a definitive answer as to how much research you need to do, you should know when you've done enough to draw conclusions from it. Couple more things then, and the one thing that I want you to take away from this, apart from everything else, is that don't be scared to use individual components within models and theory. Mix and match or develop them yourself. Okay, I'm a big fan of that. We get stuck in this. I need to use every single model I know to get any relevance out of this. A lot of them complement each other. McKinsey's 7 S's, the 5 M's, hugely complement each other, but you'd be duplicating content if you did one, then the other. So look at how they mix and match. Some areas of some models might not be applicable to you. They might not be appropriate. Some sections might be tiny, minuscule, where others are huge and broad and vast, because that is your industry and that is your organization. It's not about getting the wrong models. It's about utilizing all the models that you feel are necessary or required to the best of your advantage to get analysis out of your research. It's all about gaining the best insight, learning from what is available in order for you to develop strategic directions to move forward from. And that we'll cover later on in this series. So let's just close this presentation, shall we? And then we will answer any questions that you may have. So first and foremost, thank you so much for joining me and listening to my ramblings for 20, 25 minutes. Next week, we'll be looking at stakeholder mapping. Interesting one, because that could potentially be part of your marketing audit. And it also could complement things going forward within a full marketing strategy. The whole of the series, series one, and the up and coming sessions in this series can be found on the Professional Academy YouTube channel or on the blog post that accompanies this series and the previous one. And that can be found on the Professional Academy website. Final thing from me before we look at any questions is happy marketing. Okay, so thank you so much for joining me. And if you just give me 1 second, I will just take a look to see if there are any questions, which there are. Fantastic stuff. So the first question, which we've got here, is what's the most important model in the marketing audit? Really, really good question. The thing that I would say about that is that, yeah, you're going to hate this. The thing that I would say about that is that it's down to you to know and understand what the most important models will be to what you're looking to achieve or what you set out to your research to uncover. For me personally, and my own interpretation of that, it's pretty much what we went through today in more detail. So if I was going to do a marketing audit, the very, 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 very basics I would be using would be Pestele. I'd be using Porter's Five Forces. I'd look at McKinsey's Seven S's. I'd bring in Five M's to some stretch of the imagination. I'd also look at financial and internal resources, of which 5Ms covers. And then I'd, dependent on your industry, your organization, and a whole host of other variables, I'd look at branding. So brand prism, the brand onion. Basically brand and then add an object, and there'll be some kind of model to do with brands there. So that's my take on that. Very, very minimum, I'd be using 4 or 5 to cover this. And there's plentiful others. Okay, so thank you for that. There was no name attributed to that. So Arthur asks, is there a way to model the impact of changing one of the McKinsey 7 S's on other areas of the business? So it's really important and really, really good question you ask there, simply because of 2020 and everything that brought or has brought and continues to bring. So what I'd be doing is I'd utilize that model, and let's get really, really basic here, or I'm not going to say the word granular because I absolutely hate that word, but let's get a bit more detailed in this. So what I would do here is I would almost have 3 columns. And if you think about, if you did this in February 2020 and then you did it now, it looked very different. So you'd have your 7 S's, then you'd have your research and your analysis that comes from that. And then the next column, because you should be reviewing this on, say, a quarterly basis, then the next column would be changes and how that impacts the business. What you could do then is within that column, you highlight what areas are being impacted. So is it systems? Is it style? Is it structure? And then you could probably go a little deeper into those areas. So say it was the structure. How's the structure changed? And what's the impact of that change in the structure? Look at things like an organogram. Speak to people like HR in the HR department that can show you how things have changed or why they've changed, because probably there's a strategic shift in the business. And that's why that change has happened from a staff or a structural point of view. So it's very much about, there's no plug in and play kind of thing. It's very much about understanding this model, take McKinsey 7 S's, and then expanding on it to use it to the best of your ability. So hopefully that gives you some structured answer there. So there's another question here. Would you have an example of how a marketing audit looks like where different tools were mixed? So I haven't got one on screen, I don't think, to note. Let me think if I can think of one. So the only, not, I can't show you one on screen, unfortunately. But if you look at the 7Ss and the 5Ms, you've got men and women as one of the Ms, and you've got staff as one of the Ss. Now, that for me, yeah, you could say they're slightly different, but I think there'd be a lot of duplication of content in there. So what we need to do from that perspective is look at not duplicating the content, but what are the outcomes and the analysis of those models or mixing those models? That's a prime one. It's more about than mixing and matching. It's more about looking at the analysis and then not duplicating it on another one. But hopefully that answers the question from the point of view of mixing and matching tools. It's very much dependent on your organization and your industry. So for example, if you take Porter's Five Forces as another example, you could have not many suppliers, right? So say you're a SaaS organization, software as a service organization, and you are very insular, and basically your suppliers are things like IT and stuff like that, you know, small organization I'm talking about. Then the impact that your suppliers are going to have is very, very minimal. Well, it's huge on one scale, because if you don't have the right service and stuff, you're not going to have a business. But in terms of the impact that they're going to have, it's minimal, because you probably won't have a short supply of suppliers. So from that perspective, you wouldn't spend much time on that. Whereas buyers, you might do, or without a doubt, competitors in your industry, you would have. So it's all about understanding where the elements that you need to dive deeper into are, and focus on those. The final one I'll talk about is the SWOT and TOES. So what I would be doing from a SWOT and TOES perspective is SWOT comes at the end, like I said, and then what I'd be doing is plugging in all the different analysis and all the different elements from different models into this SWOT analysis. So from the strengths and weaknesses, the internal, you've got McKinsey 7Ss, the 5Ms, digital capabilities, financial capabilities, those types of things. And then from the external, you've got all the other models we spoke about, and then they would plug into the opportunities and threats. And we'll talk about TOES a little bit later on in session 4 of 6, I think. So I've got a couple of questions just to finish off here on LinkedIn. So this is from Emma Louise Gibson. Emma, thank you so much for joining me joining us. It's a collective, a collaboration. So let me just take these questions. So Emma asks, unfortunately, I don't think I can get it on everybody's screen, but I can get it on certainly LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube. And Emma asks, what do you think the best way to educate businesses on the value and importance of a marketing strategy? Oh, no, Emma. Yeah, exactly. Big, big, big loaded question there, to be fair. Right. Okay. So I always come at this from two angles. The first one's the proof's in the pudding. So what I'd be doing is looking at smaller tactical elements to show that marketing can bring an ROI, or if it's not ROI, can bring or achieve an objective. And that's just from a tactical element. So if you're saying, hey, look what we can do on this small element of marketing, imagine if we were more marketing focused and marketing orientated and we followed this strategic direction, what we could achieve. So proof's in the pudding from that point of view. If you've got no way of proving it and you want to educate the business, that's a tricky one, because no one really wants to be educated, because you might come across as a bit of a smart ass, if I'm allowed to say that. I'm not saying you are, just saying it might come across as that, and you're kind of become preachy, of which I've been told I am, but don't really care, because I want to be preachy, because I know and trust that marketing should be focused on everybody's organization. That should be their focus. So what I'd be doing is I'd be going to senior members of staff and saying, okay, what are your objectives? What do you want to achieve this year? These 12 months, these 18 months, what do you want to achieve? Once you know that, you could probably go away and go, okay, right, how can marketing help? How can marketing help to achieve what they're looking to do? And then go back to them and say, well, if we can help you do X, Y, and Z, these objectives that you, Mr. or Mrs. such and such, let's say sales director, want to achieve, I feel that doing these marketing, this marketing strategy will help that. And that's the way I'd go with that. I'd get them involved before you even look at a marketing strategy, get them involved in it, what they want to achieve. Not the finite detail, not the tactics or the implementation, just the fact that they're going to be involved in part of why we've got a marketing strategy, and that it's going to help them achieve what they want to do. But again, the proof's going to be in the pudding there. It's a really difficult one. Maybe just get out of your organization and go to one that focuses on marketing. No, don't do that. Really, really help your organization know and understand why a marketing strategy is important. Okay, final question, and another one from Emma. Thank you again, Emma. So Emma asks, how does a startup niche company with no presence or current marketing activity audit and define their strategy? Look at your current market. Look at your competitors. So if you've got no presence or you do no marketing activity, and again, this is coming from the point of view of not understanding your current marketplace or what you're trying to achieve and all that type of stuff, but off that limited knowledge for that question, I'd be looking at our closest competitors, even if it's in similar industries, if there aren't any in your niche industry, and saying, okay, what have they done? What have they done successfully? And then go from there. And that's how I would do that. Remember, there's loads and loads and loads of data. Data isn't the problem here. It's how we understand this data that is. There's loads and loads of information that we can utilize and gain analysis from. So if you think about, if you're trying to build a customer persona, then you've got loads of stuff that you could probably gain from the likes of Facebook and Google and a whole host of other companies, possibly HubSpot, and loads and loads of others that you can gain info from. So hopefully that helps, but it's about building on your research. And again, use these tools and models to go, okay, what do we need to know? What's in the pestle? So you can certainly do that without knowing and understanding anything or having any marketing activity. And again, proof's in the pudding. Test and fail. Always be testing these activities, these marketing activities, once you know your strategic direction of what you want to achieve and the business wants to achieve. Okay, so hopefully that answers the question. If it doesn't, drop me a line. Drop me a DM on LinkedIn, and I'll happily have a chat with you about what you're trying to achieve and all that kind of stuff. Okay, so final thing for me to say is thank you so, so much for joining me. Once again, absolute pleasure. And as always, happy marketing.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Marketing Study Lab. It really means the world that you're listening to this out there. And hopefully I've provided you some value. If you're looking to know more about what Marketing Study Lab does and is about, go to marketingstudylab.co.uk or get in touch with me personally, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, or feel free to email me at peter@marketingstudylab.co.uk. Happy marketing.